Disclaimer. All opinions expressed by our guests are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Money FM or any of its affiliates.
Back, everybody. Outside In That Money with Mwela Chebe Sekunda, CEO, right, of Financial Insight Zambia.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Hi, nothing has changed in the past 2 weeks.
No, nothing has changed. And yeah, I'm not beginning to worry about my co-host this evening.
No. CEOs are flying everywhere these days. I'm sure you've been watching the news.
Absolutely. Yes, it's great to be back again. Episode 7.
It's episode 7.
Episode 7.
Goodness
yes,
me.
Yes, and we've got all the podcasts up from 1 up to 6 on moneyfm.com under podcasts, Outside In On Money. And you can also play them back on the FI Zambia website as well.
Last week, we began Zambia Sugar, right?
Yes. Oh, the sweetest company in town.
The sweetest company. So, and you have a part two for us today?
Absolutely. So we're going Zambia Sugar 2.0. And for me, I think woman of the moment is Faith Msozi. She's come in now, and basically, you know, this will be like her inaugural, you know, like financial year.
Yeah.
But what was quite, and that is why the board obviously had to, you know, like, approve her appointment. So, you know, shareholders get to vote on that, and, unanimously, she won hands down. And she rightly deserves it because she gave a stellar performance when it came to now presenting,
Was she part of the board originally? Was she a new?
No, she's a new, new entrant to the sugar company.
Okay.
So, yeah, so, you know, essentially, you know, like even in some of our opening remarks, she obviously indicated that comparing the 2018 results with 2017 results would be a very difficult feat because of the change in financial year.
Mm.
So now, because of that, it makes it a bit difficult, and furthermore, it because of the way that the year is actually aligned, and we touched on this last week,
is that
more like at the tail end and at the head of two farming seasons.
Exactly.
So then it introduces a different sort of thing, so but a different sort of dynamic. But then, you know, when we come back now to the financials, because obviously we talked about what the CEOs and the board chairs comments were, and you know, Fidelis did a great job today in terms of presiding over proceedings at the AGM. Now, one of the things that we did was Fidelis being the board chair. Yeah. So, you know, he did a stellar job. So now, essentially, when we now looked at the numbers, right, from our perspective as Financial Insight, we'd look at things like the profitability, the efficiency of the company, any risks that were associated, with the company, and also its liquidity position. So this is what we call like our little pearl framework. And, you know, like our readers are obviously going to be seeing a lot of this. Well, not that they haven't seen it before, but then this is annual report season. So very soon, I think in the next couple of days, we'll obviously be, you know, like looking out for the AEL, annual report. And they've also, you know, they fortunately enough, declared a dividend. So this is the approach that we're going to be using. So it's we'd love to patent it, but you know, this is
that's going to be a good season of reading for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. So essentially, like under profitability, what we observed was the gross profit margin remained above 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've been scoring over 40% for the last 3 years,
okay,
which has been great. Even in the year when you know you're not able to compare apples with apples, the 2017 financial year, that was also, you know, over 40%. Now it's also probable that though in this particular year, it kind of took a bit of a dip. Now, we attribute the dip obviously to the change in the financial year. Remember, tail end and the head of two farming seasons.
So it
dropped by about 6 to 7%. Yeah, compared to the 2016. Now, the approach that we use, obviously, because we had a full year in 2016 and more or less like a half year in 2017. So we had to more or less amalgamate, you know, some of the results from the 2017 and 2016 to kind of give a fair picture of an almost apple,
that
greenish
makes sense.
Apple.
That makes sense.
What
did you see there?
Yeah, so essentially, so what we saw there was that, in 2016, though the gross profit margin was fairly higher, it came in at almost around 48%.
48.
Exactly, yeah. In 2018, it obviously comes in at the lower end of the 40 percentile, but it still means that, you know, the company is still, you know, in terms of gross profit, they're still remaining very, very profitable.
Mm.
Now, one of of the other things that we noticed was the EBITDA margin, which also remained above 10%. So meaning that for us,
EBITDA being earnings before interest, tax,
depreciation, and amortization.
Amortization. Yeah. I forgot the A.
Exactly. So EBITDA, EBITDA is obviously very, very important. It's a very, very important number to actually know, because it then now comes, you know, feeds into, you know,
the
formulas.
The actual money you're making.
Exactly,
right?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, because, you know, it adds back depreciation and amortization, you actually know what the true value, and that's why they use it, like, you know, you hear things like EBITDA margins where you want to get like a valuation of a company.
Okay.
But then now back to the EBITDA margin, you know, it actually shows that it's still above 10%. So meaning that the fundamentals of the company are still very much intact.
For a company like Zambia Sugar, is that what you're looking for?
Absolutely. You know, you want to know how they're performing on EBITDA, because, you know, EBITDA actually shows that, you know, look, they're still within, despite, because I need to remind listeners that this is a company that obviously came out of a very, very big project. Now, obviously, and as we go along, I'll explain that, you know, the contentious issue is obviously the issue around the dividend. For long-term investors, we'll be looking at EBITDA, because EBITDA will tell us whether the company still remains viable or not,
exactly,
especially post-project PAR, and which it does. So anyway, moving along in terms of profitability, we'd notice that, you know, the operating profit continues to range around 16 to 18%. Now, for me, as an investor in the company, I'll be thinking, okay, 16 to 18%, but then this is a company that obviously invested heavily in Project PAR, and they're obviously laden with quite a bit of debt.
Yeah.
So obviously, this is a number that the CEO will obviously be looking at pushing up. However, they've got a slight challenge, the macro environment. The macro environment has obviously been very, very hostile to them. Admittedly, today, Faith actually mentioned that, look, global sugar prices have obviously plummeted. So even playing on a global scale makes it very, very difficult.
Yeah.
However, they're pushing a local agenda, which is very, very important for them. So it's key that they continue to pursue that in order for them to create value for investors. So what that means for them, as according to them, is that they're obviously trying to now streamline the path to the customer. And I think this is something that we touched on last week. Listeners can listen to, you know, episode six of the podcast. So I won't really dwell in too much into that. Now, back to the profitability. So at the end, what we noticed was that the net profit margin is beginning to see an upward ascent, which is something that, you know, Faith is really, really proud of.
Okay.
And she actually mentioned this because, you know, it actually shows that, you know, now from coming from a loss position, they're now in a profit zone, and, you know, their profit, the net profit margin came in at 6.6%. Essentially, what we're seeing now, especially with cost reduction, because, you know, what affects your margins is obviously how you're handling some of the costs within the company, how you're able to manage them. They've obviously put in place, you know, Project 400, which is obviously now addressing some of those issues. So we actually foresee an improved profit margin going into next year, as moving along, as long as the fundamentals remain the same, maintaining an operating margin of over, and this is what I believe that Rebecca Katoa is obviously be looking at. Rebecca Katoa being the CEO of Zambia Sugar, she'll obviously be looking at that and pushing her team to make sure that they improve that particular position. Now,
Concerning those numbers, I know in America they're all about what they call guidance and so on and so forth.
Exactly.
Forecast.
Yes.
Is this in line with their forecasting guidance?
Well, catch is, unfortunately, there was no guidance that we actually came across. However, we would not be surprised if it was within the same range. Because remember, they're just coming out of a very, very big project.
Yeah.
Usually, and with a macro environment that has been as harsh as it's been for them, there's also issues of competitive and not so competitive forces and illegal competitive forces
and illegal,
in smuggled sugar
and stuff,
as well. That has obviously given an impact. But then again, you know, I would have obviously wanted to hear a bit more in terms of quantifying what the numbers of this illegal sugar that's coming on the market.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah, but
which is very difficult to do.
It's extremely difficult to do.
Yeah.
But then, you know, one of the things that the management team indicated today is that they're going to be working closer with ZRA. Yes, exactly. So that, you know, border posts can actually be monitored for most of this illegal
sugar. It's in their
sugar.
Best interest.
It is actually in their best interest. And, you know, it's only fair because Zambia Sugar believes that they provide a superior product that obviously, if you know, you can't compare it with illegal imported illegal imported products. So, you know, they've got a case on their hand.
I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so now moving along. So when we looked at the efficiency of the company, so we've noticed that there are signals that indicate that there was a bit of a constraint in the company's working capital. Now, of note is the increase in the holding of stock, which is inventory. which is indicative of bottlenecks in the supply chain. Mm-hmm. This is through the increased inventory days.
So when you say bottlenecks in the supply chain, you simply mean it's just not moving along.
Exactly. Yeah. So meaning that at some point in the supply chain, they're obviously holding stock for much longer than they actually used to.
Okay.
However, I'll have listeners know that last week I had a fantastic chat with the supply chain manager, and he'd actually indicated that they're putting in place measures, technological measures, that will help improve this.
Yeah.
Now, note to self, yesterday when I attended the procurement summit, there was obviously talk about how African entities now should be embracing technology. Mm. So everything for me was like, it felt like a eureka moment. Like, hang on, this is something that, you know, like African businesses need to obviously be looking at. The supply chain. The supply chain is critical, especially for companies that are of the scale of Zambia Sugar that are trying to get a product to mass market. So them going a technology route, and obviously we don't know who Zambia Sugar's technology partners are, but it does make sense for them to now be embracing technology. What I was being told by the manager of the supply chain component was that, look, they want to be able to actually forecast where the bottlenecks will be up to 5 years. This must be some seriously hectic software that can actually allow them to do that. What then happens is that they're now able to streamline operations around that. They're able now to deliver product to market much quicker. And with them now trying to focus on a strategy that is analogous to Zambia Sugar and Lafarge, where they want to get the product directly to the customer.
Directly to the customer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It then now allows them to make a plan around that. So you have stock moving in the right quantities at the right time. So, you know, this is something that we were actually able to see in the numbers, and this is the reason why we believe the company is obviously addressing that issue.
So okay, then go on.
Okay, great.
I was going to ask you supply chain questions, but I realize that's neither here nor there.
Not to worry. Okay, so moving along, right? So with our Pearl framework, the next thing that we looked at was obviously risk. Now, debt was obviously a topic of discussion today. The annual report actually specifies that they've got quite a substantial amount of debt. When we looked at when we did our calculations in terms of debt to equity, what we call gearing, is that it almost doubled over the last 2 years. Now, debt to equity, debt is like the long term money, the long term loans, and equity is obviously the shareholder value in the company. Now, and you apply and you calculate that as a ratio. Now, we've obviously seen is that the ratio went from like 76% in 2016 to 145% in 2018. So this is like an
80. We're saying that the debt is actually higher than the equity of the company.
Exactly. Goodness, which is not a very, very good position. But
I then can
remember,
imagine.
Uh-huh. But remember, this is a company that's just coming out of a project. So they obviously capitalized the project through the debt that they got. Now, if you go to the notes of the financial, you'll actually observe that they actually stipulate where all these sources of debt are actually coming from. Now, the article that we publish obviously breaks it down, and one of the things that we summarize for our readers is that it's in two parts. There's a syndicated bank loan, which is of a smaller percentage, and then there's a loan from related parties. Now, related parties in itself is actually Big Brother. So this is Ilovo Group is so big that they've got financing entities within the group that can actually go in and loan out money. Now, when
which
we look
isn't
at
the worst position to be in, right?
No, it's not. It's not the worst position to be in. So that we're not going to be crying over any spilt milk. They already have the debt under control. And they've restructured it in quite a way. So there's obviously a lengthy explanation in the notes to the financials that actually speak to that. However, like one of the things that we were actually able to pick up was that obviously because of the restructuring, this has actually allowed them the restructuring of some of that debt, especially to related parties. It has actually allowed them to have a bit more breathing space. So this obviously speaks into the re-engineering of the capital structure. So meaning that we expect that the debt to mature on obviously about 3 to 4 years.
Uh-huh.
But then what we did not see, however, is what implication that has in terms of the hot topic of discussion, which is the dividend. Because obviously with debt comes the finance costs. With finance costs, that obviously hits your free cash flow.
Yeah.
If your free cash flow is hit, you do not have money.
So they should have something to
dividend.
Say about that.
Exactly. So anyway, so that issue was actually brought up,
yeah.
And it obviously spoke to what their, you know, the company's dividend policy.
Did hands shoot up and like, was that the first thing everybody wanted
to
talk
about? You know what? Everybody was waiting to just ask that. You know, they were anxious. But we predicted that from last week's, and just as well that they held the investor day, because that kind of helped out, you know, cool down, you know, certain tempers. But then, you know, at the end
of
the
day. So did they do that because they didn't want it to be
not
too
really,
heated,
they always,
heated on, that, on the AGM?
Not really.
Or there's always a shareholder's day.
Yeah, okay. There's a shareholder's day. In fact, this last year, everybody went to Mazabuka. Unfortunately, we didn't have a chance. So that was in our first year of of owning shares in our sophomore year.
Is it a party?
Well, not really. Well, you kind of think of it. it's more like the company now opening up. Because remember, this is a manufacturing company.
Mm.
You know, that's an agricultural manufacturing company.
Yeah.
So they want to showcase, okay, this is where, you know, like your money has been invested in the project. The money
must
that we borrowed has been invested in. And this is how we're scaling up our business. Mm. So it's a very good way of kind of giving, you know, like investors in the company an insight into what's actually
a little
actually
bit of confidence
on.
Even. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Right. Okay. So now in terms of the last piece of our frame was obviously to look at the liquidity.
Yeah.
So now obviously in 2016 the company had faced the
So what did she say about the right. dividend do you want to talk about that?
Okay, let me talk about afterwards. So we'll get back to that. So now on the liquidity front, you know, obviously from 2016 the company had faced a bit of a liquidity challenge, which, you know, saw it when we applied the current assets and current liabilities formula in terms of the acid test, we'd noticed that you know, the acid test showed that, you know, it was below one, meaning that there's a bit of pressure in terms of servicing you know, current liabilities. However, the position has obviously improved. So Faith comes in at a time when, you know, she's seeing positive, you know, not only positive cash flows, but then her current assets are obviously able to meet, you know, the current liabilities,
which is
a good thing. And that's obviously a very good signal for stakeholders such as suppliers in the company. So if you supply anything to the company, you know that, you know, your payments are actually going to be able to come on time. So now, just to wind up on that, in terms of the dividend, the management team's obvious position is that, you know, they do have a dividend policy. Though Financial Insight actually asked the question, what in terms of the dividend policy, and we were more or less alluding to, is there a possibility, and there's another analyst that also now asked the question, is there a possibility of maybe flexing the dividend policy so that we can, you know, investors can begin to, you know, to start enjoying, you know, some of the fruits of, you know, of the free cash flow. Though there's not that much free cash flow to go around, the policy obviously stipulates that, you know, obviously if the debt constraint is not too high, then, you know, there'll be enough free cash flow to go around. But in this particular case, not so much. However, this is still a company that, you know, we believe in going for the long term, because the fundamentals are there. Although the threat of competition is quite rife, we would like to see what actually comes out in terms of them streamlining distribution of product to market, which will obviously be an indicator of the viability, you know, of the long term in terms of their competitive advantage.
So those are the only, because you said it's been a number, like how many years?
About 2 to 3 years. Yeah.
So okay, sure. It may not be legal, as in. It's not irregular either.
No, it's, you know, there's nothing illegal. In fact, I remember, I think there was a question that was alluding to, you know, okay, yes, can the company now change? Essentially, when the company declares profit, doesn't necessarily mean that it can actually pay a dividend.
Mm.
And that's why a dividend policy is very, very important. Now, in Zambia Sugar's case, they're very clever because of the way their operations are structured. They have put a situation where the dividend is dictated by the free cash flow that they actually have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
actually in their policy.
It's in the policy, exactly. Mm. Now, one of the things that I want to...
Basically, they're saying no surprises, guys.
Exactly, yes. But then the only thing is that, you know, obviously shareholders get a bit surprised. And I think to a certain extent they probably, you know, like want to be reminded what this dividend policy is. And, you know, obviously we'll be reaching out to them to obviously get you know, an official document and maybe publish something about it so that everybody actually knows. Yes, the intricacies of financial statements can be very, very tricky, and obviously the subject of calculating free cash flows is very, very tricky. But then if you think about it, like if you own like a chicken business and, you know, you invest, and you invest, you make sales, whatever the difference is ends up being your free cash flow after you add back certain things. But then if there's not enough of that to go around, such that, you know, there's not enough money that can be pumped, to a dividend that can also then also sustain the business, then, you know, you need to think twice. So obviously they're trying to be very careful.
And I'm guessing the only reward for shareholders' patience is that one day the dividends will come.
Absolutely.
There's no such thing as like enriching the shares or something like that.
Not really. But anyway, I think in later shows we're going to discuss some of the tricks that you know, some of the big companies do actually use.
And no free sugar at the AGM. As far as you're concerned, like, were you happy with the proceedings?
I was very happy, especially with this presentation.
You got a positive outlook.
Yes, for me it's a very positive outlook.
How was the vibe in the room? How did people
At the end of the day, it was still a bit, you know, in certain quarters were still a bit tense, but really? I think for us, but maybe, you know, that's the only reason, is that, you know, for us, we come from a standpoint of, you know, financially being financially astute. But then, you know, this is something, there was a sentiment that actually came out where it's important that, you know, like, the management team obviously tries to break down these financials in the simplest form, you know,
possible, and that's
something that, you know, that Fidelis actually took note of, and obviously we expect to see that at the next annual general
meeting. And how was the vibe from the CEO and the chairman?
The vibe, they obviously have a very, very positive outlook, and, you know, judging by the statement that came out of the board chairman, you know, it's obviously they're looking up, and they're very confident in the team that they have in terms of turning around the business and moving towards profitability.
All right. Did anybody bring up, I know it doesn't happen here, but I know internationally, for instance, in Europe especially, there's like a sugar tax. Because they're trying to reduce people's consumption of sugar.
Right, okay. You know,
they're actually moving to a thing which they're calling chocolate tax. Did anybody bring that up?
Not directly, but indirectly, there was a small matter of, global megatrends. And we wrote about this in one of our earlier articles. I believe it was sometime last year. Megatrends are showing that, especially in Europe, you have a small challenge of, a lot of people now going for the non-sugar options, reducing, and then they also have health issues that are associated to that. Now, this is where the group chair of Ilovo, who was actually present, made a response to that, and he directed everybody to a particular website. I just forget its name, but I think after the break we'll probably mention it once I find it. But the website actually discusses some of the issues, or rather non-issues, that are associated with sugar. So his statement was that, look, sugar is not the only problem in terms of health issues. There are a lot of other things, but unfortunately sugar gets to be the only one that's
it is the one we associate with.
Exactly,
some of these.
So in this particular case, you know, he's like, no, look, he's not saying that, no, don't worry about it, but then it's important that we look at the picture holistically. Furthermore, what was also quite interesting was that he dropped some statistics. Unfortunately, we didn't have a chance to note these statistics out. But in comparison, North Africa actually consumes more sugar than the southern part of Africa, especially around the sub-Saharan region, which is, you know, your Zambias, your Malawis, etc. And, you know, this is by a factor of almost double. So that also gives you an indication
that might just be a wealth thing, though.
True. Yeah, but I mean, that's obviously indicative of, you know, like, some of the issues. We shouldn't actually be worrying about these issues just yet, but they are issues that, you know, the company takes note of.
Alright, that sounds good. So so your generous opinion for somebody who's looking at the market,
I would say, you know, if you have stock in it, hold. It's still a very viable stock, so I'd advise they hold.
Excellent. Alright, let's take a breather. You want to take a sip of water or something? We'll be right back after the break.
Money 93.7 FM, your business radio.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.